It's a very good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's the last day of April. Gosh, how quick's this year going? April 30, the big sports breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Stacks of news today, particularly in the NRL. Looking ahead to the Battle of the Bridge, I think we call it, don't we? The Sydney Derby, the AFL, the Swans and the Giants. This week as well, we'll speak to Toby Bedford later this morning. Some tasty comments from Sam Taylor yesterday. Smug, apparently, of the Swans. Good on him for throwing a bit of a barb out there, adding some spice to the build-up. That's what we love. Just seeing in the Championship this morning, Leicester on the verge of being promoted back to the Premier League. They've taken a 1-0 lead over Preston over there in the UK as well. And as you heard in the intro, Brad Rosen's chipping in this morning. In the midst of the NBA playoffs, NBL free agency as well, former Kings captain, commentator, former assistant coach, amongst a sparkling resume. How are you, Brad?
Morning, boys. Lovely to be here.
And Roosters fan.
Oh, yes. Jeez, we've... It's playing well this year. We are, but I tell you what, they've got some...
Had to enjoy Anzac Day.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Speaking the Dragons.
That was unbelievable, but I'm worried about next year. Jeez, we're losing a lot.
Yeah, big story yesterday with Luke Keary retiring at the end of the season.
You know, I think about that, and Loz, it feels like he's still like in his third season when I think about him. But then, you know, he's been around for years.
Yeah.
He's played so many games. It just feels like he's still so young, but, geez, he's put his body through a lot.
Yeah, morning, boys.
Morning, Loz.
He certainly has. I think it didn't shock a lot of people. Probably the immediacy of it, where he just said he's going to finish at the end of the year. I think people thought that the end was coming at the end of 2025.
Because he just signed that contract.
Just signed his new contract.
Yeah.
But he's certainly been a wonderful player. He's a three-time premiership winning player. Had a lot of success with the Roosters. But the last couple of years have been filled with a few injuries and some concerns about his long-term health. Mm. You know, he suffered a lot of head knocks. And being a little man... he's always a target for the opposition, both with and without the football. So, he's had a mighty career.
Is it harder for little men now? Like, the game is so much faster, so much bigger. Mm. Is it harder?
Oh, in one respect, it probably would be.
For the body, I'm meaning,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but they've got a lot more protection now than they've ever had. So, kicking the ball and digging into the line, you know, 5 years ago, they'd be on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Good These point. Days you can't touch them.
Yeah.
You know, so they've been looked after a little bit in that regard. Yeah. But in terms of people being big, fast, they're always looking for an edge on how they get a fast play the ball. And the obvious target in the opposition is to try and go to the little bloke because he just can't stop the momentum of a big fella if he's carrying the ball. He needs help from a couple of other players, but if you can isolate him in a situation, you get a fast play the ball, or you can run over the top of him and do some damage. So,
and that takes
that's
its
where
toll.
They're at risk. Yeah, oh, mate, 100% it takes its toll as a little bloke, and for doing it for so long. But he's had a wonderful career, and hopefully he'll get through the rest of the year injury free.
And I saw last night on 100% footy, Michael Chemis adamant that his retirement's not concussion related, despite all the knocks he's had, but more that just the motivation's just started to wane. And that's why he... because only a couple of months ago, he did extend for next year.
Mm.
But when you look at who's walking out the door, but you just trust the Roosters, don't you? Despite... I mean, they're losing...
I don't know who's available, though. I mean, if it was the year after, you know, you go to November 1, you go do what you've got to do.
Point. That's a fair point.
So it's like, well, I don't know what's left.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting, like with Luke Keary, the motivation as well, but... Mm. I also believe one more head knock and his career is possibly over.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think he's taken that into consideration. It's just not the old, I've had enough. I think he's worried about his long-term future.
Can't blame him.
No, exactly right. In terms of who they go and get, that will be a big challenge. Now, there's some talk that Joey Manu will come back and play next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Later in the season. So if they are able to get him to come back and play... that'll be okay. One thing I've heard about the Roosters, though, they've got a lot of good young talent coming through.
So next man up.
So, so they mightn't look to spend on influential players. They might look to spend at the junior level and just pick and choose what's really needed. And I look at their team, and they are losing a lot of high-profile players. You know, Manu, Kiri, Wirahagri, Swali'i. And there's the possibility of Crichton and Tupu going. So that's well over $4 million.
Yeah. So well, they're reporting 4.2.
Yeah.
4.2
million. So what's salary cap? 10. 10 million. That's 40% of your cap.
Yeah.
It's a lot to lose.
Yeah. And especially, like I say, like it's not like you're going to go to November 1. Well, that's for the year after.
Yeah.
So I just don't. But like you said, if the juniors, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what they're
giving
that's
people an opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. They've still got, you know, Teddy there, and they've still got, you know, well, Sam Walker becomes a big signing now. They've got to make sure they tie him down, obviously.
Yeah, which I think they will. He's indicated that he wants to stay there at the club, and he sees the Roosters as their home. And given what he did on Anzac Day,
you'd be
getting his signature on the piece of paper as quickly as you possibly can.
Well, their SG Ball side, which is under 19s, isn't it, Loz? SG Ball, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it is. Harold Matt's under 17s, SG Ball 19s. They were minor premiers, went 9-0 through the season and suffered a shock loss to the Bulldogs in a semi-final and didn't make the grand final. Yeah. But apparently they've got some great kids.
A lot of people have told me that. And that's not just Roosters people. This is people with inside the game that go and watch a lot of junior rugby league. They've told me that that side has got a number of future first grade players in it.
But gee, Warrior Hargreaves, Manu, Swali.
Well, you don't get that experience, do you, straight away? That's the problem. You know, you look at what the Raiders are going through at the moment with their inexperienced backline. They're all going to be great players. They're going to be very good players. But they're just not ready for... It's just not going to get that consistency that you're after. You know, they weren't great on the weekend, but they might be like that for another week, but then they might have a high in one of their performances.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to sustain that consistent level. But that's why these guys are so important to your footy team, the consistency that they bring. But you've got to learn and understand that that's what you need to do to be successful at this level. So it's a good learning curve for all players.
Tough to do because, I mean, the pressure's on every week.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a sense, you don't have time to do that, because it's like, well, if you lose, I mean, look at South at the moment, you're losing. Everyone wants everyone gone, and who's the replacement? Let's go to England. Yeah.
And they've got a lot of senior players too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it doesn't always necessarily mean that you're going to win or lose if you've got a senior or junior team. Mm. It's just a matter of trying to get that right mix and get them to perform week in, week out.
And Bradley, we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs, of course, and it's been just a great reminder. During the season, the regular season, I watch NBA when I'm financially invested for pretty much no other reason, unless some, like I see, I'm new, the New York
Knicks. I'm
still
not 100% sure I've watched a whole game in the regular season.
There's no way.
It's just unbelievable.
But the playoffs, like, watching the playoffs, it's unbelievable. They are seriously completely different.
It is a
seasons.
Problem for the league, and that's
massive,
why they had that play-in tournament.
Problem.
That's why they did that play-in series where the Lakers won it, because it's like, we've got to play for something. You know, let's try and get this going. But it's just like two different sports, isn't it?
Completely different.
It's unbelievable, and I mean, you just wait around for this, and every
they're not
going to
shorten the season, are they?
No way. 82 games they play, and I mean, the money that goes through TV rights, there is not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No owner's going to put up their hand and go, I'm going to take 10 games less home revenue, are they?
No, I'm happy to, lose 30 mil. No problem. So, no, that is not going to happen. But it is a problem, and it is getting harder. And, you know, back in our day, it was, you know, the Michael Jordan, where he was like, I'm playing every game because I know someone's paying to watch me play, and I want to prove that I'm the greatest in the world. Where there's all this, you know, load management and everything now, it's so different. But these series, I got to be honest, the Knicks and Philly series is my favorite. I just love watching those two go at it, because you can see they hate each other. They absolutely hate each other.
It's brilliant.
I think it's great, the Knicks. I hope they play Boston in the East final. I think that's what I would love to see, because I'm really enjoying watching New York play.
But there's a real passing in the torch in the NBA at the moment, isn't there? Watching, Kevin Durant at Phoenix yesterday.
Oh, man.
They've gone out 4-0 in the first round. LeBron and the Lakers are going out.
Yeah, they will.
Denver are taking care of them. It's just probably today.
Yep.
Steph, Yeah. And the Warriors.
Didn't even get in. Yeah.
And, you know, you watched yesterday Anthony Edwards at the T-Wolves. You've seen Jalen Brunson at New York.
He had.
Obviously, and Jokic 47. Is the man. It's a passing of the torch,
it is.
Isn't it?
It is. It's been so fun to watch. And there's still, you know, like Kyrie Irving drops in and does some stuff. It's like, I'm still here, boys, you know. And look, you got to give LeBron and Anthony Davis credit. I mean, Anthony Davis is averaging 30 in this series. LeBron's 28. They're doing everything they can. LeBron's 39 years of age, averaging 28 points and doing everything they can. But the next group is coming through. But I think the best of the next group at the moment, I mean, I know they say like Luka, Anthony Edwards is playing both ends of the floor. He is unbelievable what he's doing for Minnesota, and I'm loving that. They're obviously, you know, got that series, and Phoenix are in severe issues. They have no trades. They gave up a lot of stuff for Bradley Beal. He had 9 points yesterday, and Bradley Beal's next 3 years contract, $50, $55, and $61 million. So he's got 3 years of $161 million left in his. No one will trade for him. No one's going to want
that. That contract.
So Phoenix, and he came off yesterday, and it looked like he flipped the coach and didn't want to give him five. And KD's come out and said, I didn't like having to sit in the corner. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, that is just a train.
Who's the next sort of superstar we're about to see? Because I don't know whether it's me or other people, when you see that Jokic play, like he's very good, but he doesn't seem to have the, how would I say this?
The charisma? Like the
aura?
Pizzazz.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Of a LeBron or a Jordan, even though he's a great. So will he elevate himself? I don't see him elevating himself to that
He'll
sort of status. Who's the guy that's going to come in with it all?
Well, I think Anthony Edwards is the one, but the one that's going to be the next one is Wembanyama from San Antonio, the big seven.
So he's got everything.
He's got, and just like block shots, shoot, runs.
Personality.
Probably awkward looking as well, like because he's just so tall. It's like laughable that he's doing what he's doing, but he can shoot the three. So that's probably the
name. Because that Jokic looks like he'd rather just be off the court.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, go.
Mate, it's his horse racing. I know at half time, he will be looking at his horses. He loves his horse racing.
Yeah.
He in change rooms and everything. He's betting on races. Yeah. He just loves it. So for him, he's like, you know, and I've got to play, do I? Right. So I'll go on there and bet that race for me, would you? So he's got a lot of horses and he loves it. So you're right. He hasn't got that swagger.
A lot of
players do have.
But as a coach, you'd take him any day of the week over the drama of some of these blokes. Like the NBA, unlike the NFL, the NBA is just, you know, it gravitates to its, or bends over for its superstars. It really does. It's all about the individual, isn't
100%.
It?
100%. Well, that's what buys the jerseys.
Yeah.
That's what gets people's bums on seats. That's what pays the owners. So the owners are saying to these superstars, what do you want? Don't like the coach? I'll get rid of him. Who do you want now? Well, I need a better player. Let's trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, look at Milwaukee. Here they are 3-1 down.
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of their coach.
Oh,
they're actually gone worse.
Yeah, they've gone worse.
Rivers.
I mean,
they got injuries.
They got injuries. I agree with that. But still, that's part of the way it is.
Hmm.
So, also, I should say, Gilbert Arenas from OKC is
Gilgeous-Alexander.
Sorry, Gilgeous-Alexander. Sorry, I'm going back to Phoenix. you know, he is a very, very good player. The only thing at the moment is yet to see what he'll do in that playoffs. They're going to win this series against the Pelicans easily. And they're a very young team, but he's an absolute baller, that good kid. He can play, but he's not a Wembanyama.
Yeah, the NBA will be desperate to get him into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And look, I think they'll get a high pick again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, losing a little bit like if people remember what happened to Philly a number of years ago where they got Ben Simmons at number one and then they had Embiid at number three, but, you know, he had injury. So they gradually built, and that's what San Antonio will do. It's probably good they didn't win as many games for that club this year because they'll get a higher pick. Then they'll get the next guy, and then you'll get players that will go, I'm coming out of contract, getting towards the end of my year. I want to go and play with Wemby. I want to go and do that. There's to be some fun times, and that's what will happen.
And just a reminder, outside of horse racing, the second most bet anything with TAB customers is the NBA.
Yeah.
number two
doesn't
after
hurt,
horse racing.
Doesn't hurt that there's probably 70,000 things to games to bet on, you know.
That's a factor.
But still,
but
it's everyone's got an opinion and everyone loves it, no question.
So looking forward at the Roosters, a feature of the back pages of the papers, the Telegraph, Chook's $4 million war chest, and in the Herald, or on the back page of the Herald, life after Luke. With that story saying they're going to put their faith in a Sandon-Smith-Sam Walker halves combination potentially going forward, Loz.
Yeah, everything I've seen of young Smith suggests he's going to be a long-termer. And they've played well together. And they're similar ages, so they've probably got that connection. So it's probably the way forward for the Roosters. But we spoke about that war chest, and the fact that they've got some money there doesn't mean that they'll go and waste it either. They'll be very strategic in how they go about spending it. You'd be nervous, though, if you're a rival club having your best players come off in 25, and you look at the Broncos, who have both got Selwyn Cobbo and Katoni Staggs coming off at the end of 2025, and the amount of money that those two are going to be offered. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's one of the key signings for the Roosters.
Good point.
In years to come.
Back page as well on the Herald. D-Day for JD. Rabbitohs to decide on Demetrio. Board meeting today. 8 a.m. this morning, in fact. They play Penrith on Thursday. So surely it'd be interesting if they decided to part ways today, Loz, considering in 48 hours, or just over 48 hours, they got a pretty big game.
Yeah, look, it's going to be hard for him to remain in that position. I think what will happen is they'll discuss all options today, and given it's 48 hours till Thursday night's game, they will wait till the outcome of that game before they tell people what they're doing. And it could be he's either gone, or I think he has to win to survive. To give himself any opportunity of surviving, he'd have to win against Penrith. And that might buy him some time, but I think the writing's on the wall and the drums are beating that, you know, he's coming to an end. And I don't like seeing it unfold like this. I hate seeing coaches get sacked. I really feel for them. It's what they love. They get an opportunity. It hasn't worked out. And just to be dragged through the media like this, the non-stop worry that they must have as well. I know they've got to be stoic and talk about how they're just focused on the team, but it's their future as well.
Oh, it'd just be awful environment, family, everyone involved. It's so tough. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Loz, on you know, do they put Whiten at 5'8", Cody at half? Is that an answer?
I think it's... I don't know whether it's the answer, but I think it's an option. I think when you look at the Bunny squad as a whole, we're now starting to see where there are weaknesses, or we're starting to see where players aren't performing as well as what they should. Defensively, they're poor. In the middle, they're getting belted up at times. And some of their big-name players just aren't executing as well as what we know they can. So they look like they've lost confidence and look like they've lost the energy to perform for the coach. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like.
We'll talk about Latrell's Origin availability. It's also on the back page of the Daily Telegraph after the 6 o'clock news. Just the back page of the Courier Mail as well. Made for Origin. Broncos back rower shapes as Maroons bolter. And that's in regards to Brendan Piakura. 21 years of age, Loz. He's made a pretty good impression.
He's a good player, yeah. And they've had a rap on him for a number of years. There'll be some competition for that back row spot. Obviously, you've got Nene up there at the Cowboys. You've got Dave Fafita, who was very good. But there's a
Jai Arrow's back.
But, you know, there's an opening there with no Tommy Gilbert for sure. You know, they can always go back to an old stager like Felice Kaufusi as well, even though he's out with a hamstring problem, but they probably want to move past that now. But, yeah, no, he's playing some decent football, so I'm sure he'd be considered. But I think he's certainly a player of the future, and by the end of the year, his star will be a lot brighter than what it is now.
Just back page of the Herald and the Australian as well, about Rugby Australia announcing a $9.2 million loss yesterday for 2023. Now, it should be noted during World Cup years, generally, the losses are large. They lost more than $9 million as well in 2015 and 2019. Obviously, expenditure's huge, being a World Cup year, less home test matches for revenue, etc. But still, that's considering, you know, the situation the game's in, that's not good.
Can I ask, though, generally lose money, World Cup years, that's fine. But how does that compare to other nations?
I don't
do they
know.
All lose money?
I think my understanding is New Zealand do as well, and South Africa as well. Right. So
you can understand how it makes sense. They're on the road nonstop. Like what can go on? You know, they're away for months. But I think it's just that another nail, isn't it? That just is like this.
Well, it's just, but it shows you how successful you have to be at a World Cup though, to make money.
Yeah,
which doesn't make sense. Like you think in a World Cup year, if you win, not that the Australians have won, but they made a final there one year, 2015.
And they still lost more than $9 million that year.
I'd love to know, though, over a four-year period. That's what I'd like. Because, you know, like in theory, you go well at the World Cup. The next year you bring in, you know, the All Blacks here and whatever you play. Okay, then crowds come to go in and then you get your bums on seats and then money comes in. So whilst you might lose $9 million over here, you might also pick up $30 million over here, sponsors and all those things. So I'd like to me, I see that as a four-year period. Yeah. End of World Cup to start of World Cup.
Yeah, that cycle.
What's that cycle? What did we do?
Well, two big factors contributing to that in the last 12 months. They spent nearly $4 million propping up the Melbourne Rebels.
Well,
you'd have to think that, I mean, at the moment they're in talks to try and see whether they can continue.
Won't survive.
It doesn't sound like it, does it? Mm. And also, there were 2.6 million of unapproved expenses out of the World Cup.
So Eddie Jones
World Cup, and they've said they've put measures in place to ensure. But clearly, Eddie just given free reign, and we didn't even make it out of our group. Eddie's got a lot to answer for what he's left, the mess he left, and the way he left. Still,
well, I know they're saying that they lose money in a World Cup year, but realistically, if you take those two issues away,
it's not too bad, is it?
They're not losing money at all. Mm. Well, they're losing what a couple million.
World Cup year.
On a World Cup year.
So it's actually they've curbed it not too badly outside of those two issues. If it's that straightforward, I mean, we're not accountants in here. I don't know. You might be. You got your own business, Brad.
No, I pay people to do that.
And again, my only issue is the amount of debt that they have. Mm. And their money that they will make in the next 4-year cycle, a lot of that
will pay off the debt. Yeah, well, they're hoping. Well, they're about 50
which is fine. But then, where's your next money coming from?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Daniel Herbert, the chairman, says the looming windfalls from the Lion Series next year, and you got your home World Cups, men's in 27, women's in 29, must be used to reset the game. So they're eagerly awaiting all that cash to come in.